So he says Facebook offers a means to help manage the horrors that life throws your way. But it can also potentially throw you into the path of even more horror. Emily McCombs is the executive editor for the website exojane.com. She recently received a friend request from a man who had raped her in her adolescence. She says that even though the event happened a long time ago, seeing that man's name on Facebook quickly brought her back.
In that moment, I was that 14-year-old girl. He was a monster, and he was terrifying to me.
So you messaged him to ask him if he would talk to you.
I did. One of the hardest things for me to process was just believing that this had happened. That's not uncommon with rape survivors, to sort of blame yourself.
Right.
That you've done something to cause this to happen. I literally didn't believe myself. I mean, I did intellectually, but I couldn't sort of emotionally accept that something so horrible had happened to me. And it was worsened by the fact that I had blacked out large parts of it, which is also something that happens when there's a large trauma. A lot of it was fuzzy. There were pieces missing, which made the whole thing seem a little bit surreal, a little bit like a dream. I wanted to talk to him because I wanted someone to verify for me, this is real. You're not crazy.
Right. And he wasn't willing to have a message conversation about
right.
it. You think maybe because he didn't want anything on the record, but
right.
he was willing to talk to you on the phone.
First of all, like when he said he wanted to talk on the phone, that was paralyzing. Like that was, you know, the idea, I had mustered up all this energy to email him and ask him these questions, and then he wants to talk on the phone, which is like a whole different thing. I was really scared to get on the phone with him.
So you took notes on the conversation, and as you write, it began with you asking him, I just want to know if this really happened, because sometimes it feels like I'm going crazy.
Right. And he said, okay, I remember. You're not going insane. You're not delusional. It happened. I was there. I remember. And I said, thank you. And then he said, I don't know how much you want to hear. I said, it's okay. Just tell me whatever you remember. And he said, you must have just turned about 14. It was like 1997. We were in this warehouse. And I said, I can't believe we were really in a warehouse. That was one of the things that I could never explain, because I pictured a warehouse, but I thought, why would we have been in a warehouse? He said it was a warehouse.
And then other details. Some of it had to do with restraints and
right.
And really mean behavior.
Which I remembered a lot of it, but I mean, like the warehouse thing, that was so moving to me, because that was one thing that I could never make sense of. And then to have him verify that, I think it was hard for me to speak.
And this guy was part of that.
He was part of it, but honestly, I was so grateful to him. When he said that first thing, when he said, I remember it happened, you're not crazy, I immediately started sobbing.
Why did he send you a friend request?
You know, I think that he was honestly in such complete denial about what had happened that he thought that he was just sending a friend request to any other friend. I mean, he remembers all these things happening, but in his memory, it was all consensual. His explanation is, when they led you over to me in a dog collar and handcuffs, I thought that you were into it. I think that's just how he rationalized it. There are moments when I'm speaking to him where it's obvious that he knows there's a little more to it.
Like the fact that he recalls you saying no repeatedly?
Well, that he said that without really any inclination that that might mean that something wasn't consensual. You know, he says like, oh, but then it seemed fine after you said no. But there are times when he said, oh, I've wondered about you over the years. And when I heard that you weren't doing so well, I wondered if maybe I was responsible, you know, which doesn't make sense unless he on some level realizes that he did something to me.
When you got his message, part of your reaction was that, oh, this is one of those horrible Facebook effects. People showing up in your life, last people you might ever want to talk to. You said that you've been friended by the dude who threw your glasses over the fence in elementary school, a friend of your mother's who knows weird stuff about you and leaves comments on random photos and estranged relatives, and then this guy. In the end, do you feel grateful to Facebook or resentful?
You know, I actually am very grateful. It's funny because it sounds like the most extreme example of the person that you wouldn't want to friend you on Facebook. But speaking with him really allowed me to process some things that had happened and move on. I mean, I'm obviously still dealing with it. It doesn't ever go away. But once he said to me that it had happened, I was able to get past that place of just doubting myself and blaming myself and move on to just processing what had actually happened.
He has kids.
He has two daughters and a son, which I was able to see on his Facebook account. And so I just the last thing that I said to him was to, you know, to teach your daughters how to value themselves so they don't end up in that same situation, which of course they might. I mean, having good self-esteem and loving yourself obviously doesn't protect you from being raped, but and teach your son that at the first sign of no, stop. I don't care what you may think about why she's saying no or what you may think she really means or how she's saying it. If you hear the word no, stop.
I still think it's really weird that he contacted you.
I mean, maybe he was looking for some kind of absolution. I mean, he apologized. He was sorry. You know, although he never admitted, yes, I raped you, he apologized for what happened. He was genuinely sorry. You know, and this is also a young guy when this happened. He's not a monster. I mean, that was the other lesson in this, was like, this is just a guy on Facebook. You know what I mean? This is just a guy who listens to Bob Marley and likes Scrubs. He's not some monster. He's a person who did a bad thing, and it's not too late for him to accept responsibility for that and apologize. And you know what? I can accept that.
Emily, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Emily McCombs is the executive editor for ExoJane.com.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.